You've seen Sarah Ewart walking in the studio,
Sarah.
Jim.
I've met Sarah.
Morning, Sarah.
Morning.
Good morning, and your mum, Jane. Hello, Jane.
Hello there.
Good to see you both. And Sarah's story. I remember when Sarah contacted the show many years ago, and Sarah's story is well documented of how she had to go across the water for an abortion when her child had fetal abnormality. Would you object? Do you object to Sarah's decision that she made?
First of all, I think everyone has enormous sympathy for Sarah, the position she found herself
in. She's sitting beside
you. She is, yes. And I actually have met Sarah when I was health minister. I met Sarah, and in fact I met her on a couple of occasions during this issue. It's a terribly difficult issue. I accept that.
But would you stop her making the decision in Northern Ireland? Is this Israel life now? Yeah. She's sitting beside you.
My personal view is, Stephen, I don't think there's any need for the change in the legislation that has protected so many unborn children in Northern Ireland.
Sarah? You can speak for yourself. Come nice and close to the mic for me.
Well, good morning, Mr. Wells. But our last meeting with you, our only meeting with you, you had said that the births were not difficult, that consultants get it wrong, and that I carried a baby that would have survived. I find that absolutely appalling. If you remember, I left that meeting very upset.
And in actual fact, one of your senior advisors had to intervene and correct you.
Stephen, that meeting,
Dr. Philip Weir.
That meeting was witnessed by three senior officials from the department. And unfortunately, I have to say to Sarah that her recollection of that meeting and mine are totally different.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's no point in us getting into the details of a meeting, is there? Because we're not going to get anywhere with it. But on the principle, Sarah, of the DUP not wanting any reform in Northern Ireland, what would you say to Jim?
This is medical care. We need help with our consultants to be at home with our family around us. If it's good enough to send us away, why can we not have it here?
Because I believe the people of Northern Ireland genuinely feel that legislation that has protected the life of actually 102,000 people is worth protecting and worth preserving. Now, I accept there are a small number of very, very difficult cases which require compassion and support. But the difficulty is, all the evidence throughout the world is, if you touch the legislation which we've had and many Commonwealth countries have had, then what that happens is you open the floodgates to what has happened in England and Australia and so many other places.
Yeah, I'm only here. I'm talking about fetal abnormality. That's my experience. And what I would say is, don't judge me until you've walked in my shoes. We didn't know. We would have been as judgmental and ill-informed until this landed at our door. This is a very small change we're needing.
Stephen, I fully appreciate and sympathise with Sarah, but what I can say to you is that this is exactly what David Steele said in 1967, when he brought in legislation, the 1967 Abortion Act, in order to deal with these very difficult cases. What that did was open the floodgates for abortion on demand and the death of 9.2 million
but
people.
But nobody's talking about abortion on demand. We're talking about cases with fetal abnormalities. You're causing more stress and more, it's more traumatic sending people away. This is 5 years down the line. I should have had this dealt with at the time, privately in my hospital. Nobody should have known about this. And here I am today, 5 years on, still with people contacting me privately who want this healthcare at home, who can't get it.
Stephen, I'm very friendly.
Jim, can I just say something? And I'm not. You haven't looked at Sarah once.
Well,
and Sarah's looking at you. Fair enough. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, this is an elected representative who may have the chance to influence legislation in Northern Ireland, and someone who those decisions affect their lives. So I'm interested in you both talking to each other.
Sorry, could I just say the configuration of the studio?
Fair enough.
Until
fair enough.
We moved the microphones,
fair
didn't allow.
Well, you've
but
moved it now.
I have met Sarah. In fact, I've met you twice, Sarah, because I met you in the Great Hall as well at Stormont. And I've always, my door's always been open to speak to folk who are dealing with this terribly difficult situation. But Stephen, I could refer you to a lady in North Antrim who was told that her baby was totally unviable at 10 weeks, 12 weeks and 24 weeks. She did not take up the option of abortion. The child was born and there was minor heart surgery. That child has a life expectancy of only 74 years. That child is perfectly normal. And so the consultants and the experts do get it wrong. They do get it wrong.
Look, scans have moved on since then. They can now look at hearts on a baby on a scan. If you go to a heart surgeon, the heart surgeon says to you, you need a procedure for your heart, you would do it. You follow the instruction of a consultant.
Yes, and some of these children, I accept, may only live for 2 hours, for 2 days, or maybe for several months. But I still believe that that person, that child, has the right to life. And that's the fundamental difference between myself and Sarah, and explained that to her.
We believe that 100% women should be supported, yes, and given the treatment occur, if they want to go through the birth.
I are happy to help in any way for women to get further care.
If they want to go through the birth. But what Sarah is saying to you is that she and women like her don't. There are ones that don't. So what are you going to do to help them and women like them?
I certainly believe that where we fall down in Northern Ireland is we don't give folk who are caught in this terribly difficult situation the adequate care that they need. But as I said to you at our meeting at Stormont, the danger of going down this route is opening the floodgates, as has happened everywhere else in the world. It is almost impossible to tamper with the legislation that we have without effectively having abortion on demand, hence the loss of 9.2 million human beings, including 6,000 of your listeners, had it happened here, Stephen, 6,000 people. And those 6,000 that are out there today, aren't they glad we didn't have this
legislation? So when the Chief Medical Officer, Jim, of Northern Ireland recently endorsed a description of fetal abnormality, what he was essentially saying in a nutshell, and this is Dr. Michael McBride, yes, the Chief Medical Officer, he was basically saying in a nutshell that medical professionals can define situations where there is no chance of life. Are you disputing that?
Well, I think even
the senior doctor in the country
admits that sometimes they get it terribly wrong. Secondly,
are you disputing Dr. McBride's
decision? We're looking at that report very carefully, Stephen, at the moment. It's only been published 3 weeks ago, sure, as you know. So there's an awful lot to be done on that. But what I can say to you is what I can't see in that document is a way of dealing with this issue that doesn't open the floodgates.
This is not about abortion on demand. This is about healthcare in the hospital. Yes. Can I say there is a massive difference being sent to one of these clinics, people who attend wanting to lose a baby and people who are being sent there losing a baby they very much wanted. It shouldn't be happening. It is devastating and way more traumatic than it ever should be.
Sarah would have had the remains of her daughter brought home had we have had the treatment here and been better informed and had something to remember her by. We have nothing.
Yes, and I remember you when I met you as minister telling you just how traumatised and heartbroken you were because that was a very much wanted baby in your case.
Really? Because our meeting didn't finish?
No, we had to leave early.
No, I can assure you, I have double checked and I can assure you the officials who were there said
that
the meeting...
Well, it's wonderful that you can remember all the stuff that you have said, but you can't remember anything that we have said.
No, because unfortunately there are officials there to keep a record of the meeting.
Oh, we know
and
that
I can
day,
assure
yes.
you, I've checked and double checked and I was very aware of how difficult an issue this was and I knew that I had to be very careful and not say anything which caused offence or add to the enormous hurt that you've had.
Can I ask you a question? Have you and your family dealt with a crisis pregnancy like this?
I'm very fortunate in my family we haven't, though I have had close relatives
really
who've had miscarriages.
Understand.
I've had children who've had miscarriages, and I must say
a miscarriage is taken out of your hands.
It was terribly distressing.
And it is devastating. A miscarriage is not something anybody wants, but the decision is out of your hands. This, what I had to go through, I had to make a decision, and there was no other help there for me. And I was sent away, and it was more traumatic, more devastating. I have nothing to remember my daughter by. This should have been done here with my family and friends around me and with my own medical team who knew my medical history behind me.
And I can say, Sarah, that I don't think the department handled your situation very well. I accept
that. Oh,
they
did. The medical care that Sarah got from the
But what I'm saying,
in dealing
with the terribly difficult situation you found her in, I think the department were found wanting and how they supported
and treated you. Well, I don't agree with you. Absolutely not.
No, I was offered a lot of, I'm not going to go into my own personal details live on air, but I was offered full support in every way, but they couldn't help me when I was travelling. They said they were here for me when I came home. Well, they wanted to help me, but their hands are tied. Medicals are wanting to help people in my situation, but they can't.
They're having to deal with women in Sarah's situation, sitting in front of them on a daily basis, getting the devastating news and being absolutely devastated themselves that they can do nothing about it to help them.
And obviously, we feel a huge degree of sympathy for your position you're found in. But we also have to remember what happened in the rest of UK, in
Australia. Well, I'm sure you remember from the meeting.
Let's finish. Yeah.
When we dealt with that, it opened the floodgates to a massive loss of totally healthy children. 98.8% of the children that have been lost as a result of abortion in the rest of the United Kingdom have been totally fit and healthy.
Jane, you're a Democrat. One of the powerful arguments that Jim can make this morning is that both he and his party stand in front of the electorate of Northern Ireland with very clear views on abortion, and they remain the largest party in Northern Ireland. So Jim feels that therefore both he and his party have a mandate to be doing what they are doing, to be blocking abortion reform in Northern Ireland.
I have yet to find anybody that would be a DUP voter that is not sympathetic to Sarah's case and Sarah's circumstances. Jim talks about the vote the day that it happened 2 years ago. It was 59 to 40. They didn't use the petition of concern, he's quite right, but Arlene Foster had the party whipped all one way to vote, and we had people from the DUP coming up to us that day saying that they would have helped us if they had been in a position to do so, and we will get this. And I said, I looked at them and said, well, today's the day, can you not? And they couldn't. All we want is a fair crack. Some help. 5 years we've been at this, chasing our tails. Women still in touch with us about this. It's absolutely ridiculous. We've now we've written to Theresa May and Westminster. We want Westminster to step in and try and help us here.
What do you say to Theresa May?
Well, we have. We've emailed. We've asked for a meeting with both her and or the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland.
What would you say to them this morning? Look, what are you asking for?
This is a medical care. We women like Sarah and Sarah are struggling. We have another daughter. We have female cousins. We were judgmental, absolutely judgmental. Whenever we heard the word abortion, it was immediate shutdown and judgment. We are so, we're embarrassed about that now because we never once thought under any medical grounds would an abortion be required. And it's been an eye-opener when this landed at our door, as Sarah said. You only have to walk a mile in our shoes before you can make a judgment. And as Jim has said, he has been fortunate in his family and blessed that he hasn't had to face a situation like that. Well, I'm sorry, we can't say the same. And another member of our family has had to go, have the same sort of diagnosis and had decided to go through the birth, and it was because of that that Sarah made an informed decision. The only problem was she couldn't get the medical treatment here, and that we were then having to find £2,100 to go to England to have the procedure done and taken away from family and friends. It was just traumatic. It was awful.
What was your reaction, Sarah, when the vote came through in the Republic, an overwhelming majority of people supporting abortion reform?
Look, I'm only coming from a fatal abnormality angle. I mean, I'm relieved that if the diagnosis was here, we could go down to Dublin. But at the same time, we're still travelling. You're still causing all that extra stress that is not needed. We need the healthcare here.
We don't want to be at one of these clinics. We want to be treated with our own consultants and medical teams who want to treat us. That's what the annoying thing is about all of this. They're behind us. That working group report, we took part in it too, is proof that they're behind us. That was done by medical and legal people that know what they're talking about, not just people that have experienced it.
And on, Jim, fatal abnormality specifically, is it you and your party's position that doctors cannot be sure, is that what you're saying, in cases of fatal abnormality, even if there is a scan showing that there is no brain?
They can get it wrong, Stephen, and also...
How could they get it wrong if there's a scan showing brain?
The example I quoted you was entirely
Would
wrong.
Would you like to see Sarah's scab from her own baby photograph? Because you can clearly see that the top of the skull is not formed. That's how clear. For an everyday person like Sarah and myself, we can see it.
Stephen, we had an event at Stormont where many mothers came along who had been through the traumatic situation that Sarah faced, and they decided to go ahead with the birth. And they had a few moments, a few hours, maybe a few days of time with a child that had life-limiting conditions.
Was that not their choice?
It was their choice. And what I can say to you is that they all said to a woman that they would never have missed that opportunity. That was precious to them. They could have closure. They could say goodbye to a loved, much-wanted child.
Sarah?
But that's what they wanted. They got what they wanted. I'm not getting what I want. I did not want to continue with a pregnancy.
See, sometimes this is time the baby has been diagnosed as passing away with the anencephaly pregnancy. Some of these mums are having to deliver, and I'm trying not to be upsetting to people, but decomposing babies on air. I'm apologising for that, but that's the reality of it. And Sarah did not want that option. So,
but Stephen, we still run the risk of basically undermining the protection that has helped 102,000 people.
We're talking now specifically in cases of fatal abnormality,
Stephen. All the attempts to deal with these complex issues have opened the floodgates. And in the Irish Republic, Stephen, initially the legislation was to deal with these very difficult cases. Now we're going to have abortion on demand up to 12 weeks. And I'd also like to ask Sarah, were they comfortable with thousands of people in Dublin on Saturday cheering and having a street party for the right to kill unborn children.
We weren't there, so we're not commenting. Yeah.
Well,
that.
I think an awful lot of people in Northern Ireland found that absolutely grotesque. And they weren't cheering because they had the right to deal with these very difficult issues. They were cheering because the Irish Republic has gone for abortion demand up to 12 weeks for everyone.
No, they're cheering because they now realise that their women are going to be looked after.
No, I'm afraid yeah. not. Well, then the way that they behaved, I thought many people found grotesque in the extreme. I have to say, and many of who were there said that they wanted abortion on demand without any hard cases whatsoever.
Sarah, you've used the term devastating a number of times this morning as to what happened to you, and you had to go across the water. Can you expand on that and explain to Jim and others what devastating actually means in these circumstances?
Yeah, I've already said before, this was a very much wanted baby. My husband and I have been together since we were 16, so when we were married, family was top of our list. And to be so excited after being married to find out you were expecting, to find out your baby wasn't going to survive, that is hard enough to deal with without having to deal with booking flights and not knowing where you're going, not know who you're going to meet, who's doing your procedure. I was there as a number. I was not there catered for as somebody who was wanting to look after my healthcare.
And Jim, Sarah, has talked about the precious moments, his words, after that some mothers experienced after a child was born who would not survive much longer. Precious moments.
Look, I admire anybody who can carry on with their pregnancy and have their baby. And if that's what they want, those precious moments, as you say, I absolutely admire you for that. And I'm glad that you have got that. But what I wanted was to not have to carry and grow a baby up to 9 months, to know that I was not going to be able to take that baby home, that I was not going to have a life with that child. I wanted it to end now. And women here need to have that option in our hospitals, that if they don't want to be carried on, it's like torture. It really is. It's awful.
But Stephen, very difficult cases often make very bad law. And the reality is that there's two rights here. There's the right of the parent who's going through a very difficult position, but there's also the right of the unborn child.
No, the bad law is made by people who won't listen to the difficult cases, unfortunately, and the people that are having to go through it.
We have listened, and the people throughout Northern Ireland have listened to these desperately difficult situations.
Well, you say you've listened, but you're not even accepting the word of the Chief Medical Officer now in his definition of fetal abnormality.
The crucial point I'm making is a report has been done on that, and it's up to the elected representatives of Northern Ireland to consider that report in great detail. That's where we are at the moment on this, but I still have not been able
and
to be sure.
And if they consider it, who's going to implement anything that comes up in if they do agree to a change?
I'm hoping,
there's nobody there.
I am hoping that there will be
a
devolved...
We are 5 years at this.
A devolved...
What is it, over a year or is it a year nearly that the Assembly hasn't been in?
16 months.
There you go. How are we going to get any help at this
I can
rate?
Assure you that that's not the DUP's fault when this
position. I'm not saying it is. Here. It's across the board.
What I'm saying is this is such a complex issue. We can't have a knee-jerk reaction simply because the Irish Republic has taken this decision. We have to consider it in the round and carefully. And it has to be done by the elected representatives.
We've been considering for 5 years. 5 years ago we started knocking the doors of Stormont. This is not an overnight decision.
Sarah,
and we agreed with this report. And we said at the time that it was just going over and compiling all things that even David Ford had tried to do with regards to consulting with medicals and legals, and all it was ticking the box again. So we've got the report now. Let's do something with it. Let's give the women the help. The medicals are telling you that you need to do it, and the legals that were involved in it. So let's get the help done.
Sarah, your case featured heavily in that debate on the 10th of February 2016. I think you may even have been in the public gallery. And what I can say to you is, well, if you check the Hansard, you will see that your case came up time after time by many of the contributors. So this Assembly did take into account your very well articulated story.
Unfortunately, people are messaging us in private, and because they're dealing with it, they're not just in a position to come out with their story. And Sarah only did. And we feel we've had to hang what we would say is our dirty laundry out in public, because nobody was paying any attention to us at the Assembly at the initial start when we wrote the letter. And it was only whenever we contacted the Nolan Show and we got it out on air that people actually started sitting up and paying attention.
Do you accept when I was Health Minister, the moment you asked to meet me, the doors open, and we did meet you for a very long time, and you did very well articulate your case to me and the officials present.
Well, do you accept that I turned round to you and said to you that it was clearly evident today that you could not separate your religious belief from doing your job as Health Minister, and at that we got up and walked out?
You did say that, but yes. Can I tell you the meeting ended amicably? And yes,
it
I do.
Did not.
I
did not. I'm sorry, Mr. Wells.
Yes,
he was running around getting Sarah water and tears.
No, I can assure you, we checked and double checked. It was very.
Oh my goodness.
It ended amicably.
That is so bad.
It was a difficult meeting. I do
accept
that.
Jim, you're telling people that the meeting ended amicably, yes. And they're telling you. You know, they were in the meeting. They're telling you that they walked out in tears.
And that's why.
So it might have ended amicably for you.
That's why we.
But it didn't end amicably for them.
Stephen,
is what they're saying.
That's why
because
we had three officials.
Because of the post that we put up on Facebook about how bad the meeting was with you. We ended up being asked up by Peter Robinson at the time to speak to the DUP as a party, which we did.
Stephen, can I assure you that's why there were three officials there to make absolutely certain.
There was more than three officials in actual fact.
Well, three of my officials.
There's five in the room, wasn't there?
I'm not sure there's anything to gain.
Yeah,
to be fair to Jim and everyone about how the meeting ended. If we come back then to the politics of this, Jim has said this morning that both he and his party, even if there is a vote in any future assembly for abortion reform, that they will use a petition of concern to override that majority vote if the majority of elected representatives call for reform. What's your response to that, Sarah?
That's devastating to hear that.
Why did they ask for the working group report in the first place then? If they're not going to take the advice that's recommended in it, what was the whole point of it?
Well, we're not saying that, Stephen. We're saying it's been considered at
well,
the moment.
Well, if you're going to use a petition of concern and it's recommending a change in the law...
First of all, I don't think it will require a petition of concern because there's still a clear majority, overall majority, of MLAs at Stormont who do not want to see abortion in demand in Northern Ireland.
No.
I have to say that.
Yep,
I mean, the mathematics has changed slightly. Paul has made the point we're now down to 90. But there's certainly an overwhelming majority of SDLP, DUP, a majority of Ulster Unionists, independents, who at the moment do not see a need for a change in the legislation, which is far from perfect, but I keep saying has saved 102,000 lives.
And Sarah, sorry, Jane. Sarah, I want to let you finish to my question. What impact does it have on you when Jim's making it clear the DUP's position this morning, they will use a petition of concern?
Stephen, we may not have to.
If you do have to, and I agree, you may not have to, but if you do have to, you will use it. What impact does that have, Sarah, on you?
It's devastating. Look, I'm not through with my family. I have a sister. I have female cousins. Nobody knows when this is going to happen or whose door this is going to land at. We need help, and I'm asking you now.
Yes.
Please help the
and
women here.
And that help has to be greater support for folk in your position, greater perinatal care, a greater understanding of what's happening. But does that support extend to opening the floodgates as we did in 1967.
Nobody's mentioning abortion. Nobody's asking for it.
Actually, those who are campaigning in the Republic, that's exactly what they're demanding, and that's what they've got. Abortion on demand up to 12 weeks. And that all started dealing with these very difficult.
We're fit,
I accept that. I accept.
You wouldn't be using that as a comparison
but what we're saying.
In
the Irish Republic, this all started with the series of very, very hard cases. And now what we have, as a result of the campaign, is abortion demand up to 12 weeks. No questions asked, simply requested.
These hard cases that you're talking about, they're actually people's lives. People are living this.
Yes, I accept that. Yes, I do. And they're terribly difficult cases. But we have to balance that against the rights of hundreds of thousands of unborn children.
Listen, I think this has been a difficult conversation between you. But I would say that what has happened here in this studio today is, you know, an elected representative and real people looking at each other, speaking to each other respectfully, and thank you for doing it. Jim Wells, thank you. Thank you for coming in this morning. Sarah and Jane,
thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.